Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Jabberdad Cast. This is your host, Braden Gerard, like always, and today we are going to talk about 3 interesting topics, like usual. Everything we talk about is interesting on this show. So, first off, we're going to talk about coffee, and specifically, we're going to talk about the common myth, and whether it actually is a myth or whether it is a fact that light and dark roast coffee have different caffeine contents. So we'll talk about that. We're going to also talk about to-do lists and sort of getting things done, the whole productivity booster, all these keywords that you see out there. I'm not going to get into the whole debate of this is the way you should be productive, but I want to talk about some digital tools that can help you just basically keep track of your to-dos. I actually had someone inquire about that this week, so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about. Finally, I want to talk about our gaming talk, and this is going to be a little bit different this week because I'm actually going to talk about how I've been gaming less and what that's going to mean for this show. Before we get into it, let's talk about the giveaway. So, super exciting. Drum roll. I won the giveaway. I know, right? So, me being optimistic, like I always am, figured that we'd get people in the Discord by doing a giveaway. Apparently, coffee is not a big enough attraction to get people in the Discord. We'll work on it. We're going to build up this community. This podcast is brand new. I was just trying some things out. I still definitely want to do a once a month giveaway of coffee. So I'll just keep doing it until people want to sign up for it. So we didn't get any submissions this month for the giveaway for the coffee, or maybe people just really don't like Kicking Horse. I'm not sure. I mean, to be honest, I liked it at first, but the more Kicking Horse I've drank now, I find that there's like a very acidicy taste to it. And I mean, maybe I'm just not grinding my beans properly, because we know that if you don't grind them enough, then you will get an acidicy taste. So maybe that's my problem. I'm going to keep giving it a shot. It's not terrible coffee. I like it, but I don't necessarily like coffees that have the like acidicy taste to them. So we'll see. But lucky for you guys, no one's receiving any Kicking Horse because no one wanted to enter the draw. So I am the winner because I'm the only one who liked it and left a review. Okay, enough of that. I will keep doing the giveaways because I think it's fun. On to what I wanted to talk about today for coffee is the light versus dark roast caffeine content myth. And it is a myth. So the reason it's a myth, I've actually heard myself that light roast has more caffeine because it's not, the caffeine's not roasted off. It's not roasted as long, so the caffeine's not burnt off. That's actually, I could see where that came from, but that's not the real reason. And then apparently other people thought that dark roast had more just because it's a stronger, typically it tastes a bit stronger, and because it's stronger, there's more caffeine. I don't know. That was sort of the dark roast argument. What it comes down to is actually the density of the coffee beans. So if you scoop your coffee beans with like a scoop to measure how much you're putting in your coffee, you're going to have the same amount of beans, or very close to the same amount of beans. If you're doing 2 coffees, say a light roast and a dark roast, if you're using the same scoop, you're going to have the same amount of beans. Now, because dark roast coffee is roasted longer, the coffee actually loses a lot more of its mass when it's roasted longer. So dark roast coffee is lighter, like weight-wise, because it's lost some of its density due to being roasted longer. A lot more water comes out of it, and it just loses it. It loses some of its density. So the dark roast coffee is actually lighter weight-wise. So if you are, and less dense. So if you are measuring with the same measurement device, a cup of light roast and a cup of dark roast, same number of beans, you're actually going to have more caffeine in the light roast. And the reason for that being, well, you have a higher density of coffee there so there's more caffeine content. It's heavier. The beans have a higher density, so you're going to have more caffeine. Now, if you're measuring your coffee by weighing it, and you weigh out the same amount of light roast and dark roast, you're actually going to have a higher caffeine content in the dark roast. And that's because you actually are going to have more dark roast beans than light roast beans. it'll probably be very, very close at that point. But because there's more beans, you'll get a bit more caffeine out of the beans, even though they're the same density, because you're going to have more beans. So it's interesting. It could slightly be more in one or more in the other, but it's not due to that myth of the caffeine being roasted off because it's roasted longer or anything like that, or that the stronger coffee has more caffeine. Yes, different coffees have different caffeine contents depending on the plant they come from or where they come from. But the light roast versus dark roast coffee is really all about the density of the coffee. And you're just, if you're having more coffee, it's going to have more caffeine. So that's the light roast, dark roast caffeine content. And I think that's all we're going to talk about on that. So getting into the tech, this week I had an inquiry from one of my relatives who said, "Hey, me and my superior are working remote, obviously, and we are having a lot of trouble sort of keeping track of tasks and keeping organized. And do you have any tips for sort of digital task management, sort of like light project management, or really what I call just like a to-do list that multiple people can see or that you can share with someone, just to keep track of what's been done, what hasn't been done, what you have to do for the day." And by the way, this actually is a form or one tip that a lot of people will give for becoming more productive. Now, whether this works for everyone or not, that's debatable, right? Everybody works slightly differently. But if you are someone who is good with a to-do list, which a lot of people are, and they don't even realize it because they don't do it. So I would recommend trying a to-do list, even if you aren't sure about it. I would just definitely recommend it. See if it makes you more productive. I know for me, I'm a ton more productive when I have a to-do list. It's just, you know, having all those things that I want to get done in a day. If I see a lot of things there, it'll make me work harder and faster to get them all done. And if I, you know, and then later on in the week, I might not have as many to-dos and I can work on other side projects or whatever, because I've knocked them all off early on in the week. And if I don't knock them off that day, they get bumped to the next day. And you know, when I have to-dos that keep getting bumped, it's like, okay, I got to get this done. And it sort of helps me stop procrastinating as well. So to-dos really help me. Now, if you're creating a to-do list, you don't need to get all fancy and use tech. You can simply just have a notebook with your to-dos in it. I know a lot of people that like just handwriting out their to-dos and crossing them out whenever they're done them. That works perfectly fine. There's digital versions of very simple to-do lists. Like on your iPhone, you would have the Reminders app, which is actually very good now. It has a very good to-do list functionality. You can add pictures to your to-dos. You can add locations for your to-dos to remind you at. You can add dates and timers and stuff like that on your to-dos. So there's that. It's very simple, straightforward for like a single person that needs to make a to-do list. There's other apps out there, like Todoist is a very popular free one. If you're an Apple person and you have all of the Apple devices like iPads, iPhones, Macs, stuff like this, Things has been around for over a decade now. It's a very popular organization to-do list type app, and it's on Things version 3 now. I personally use that for my to-do list. It is a bit more feature-rich as well. It allows you to have different projects or different areas, they call them, which are like sort of areas of your life. So if you have like to-dos for the family, like, you know, doing the laundry or doing the dishes, or you have another area, say, for work, and those are your to-dos at work. Or maybe just some personal project to do, is you can sort of separate them into areas. You can do all the typical things like due dates, tags, times, all this kind of stuff. And then you can also sort them by what day you want to do them, or if they're just a general to do that you want to get done at some point. So a lot of the systems have that sort of functionality though, and it's not saying you need to use Things. There's Microsoft to do's, which is a very straightforward, nice to do list as well. If you're using the Microsoft Office suite, There's all kinds of small apps like that that are just sort of to-dos for either a single person or a very small team of people. You can usually share your to-dos on most of these smaller apps. Now, if you're working with, say, a manager or maybe a couple people, you might want to look to some sort of what I would consider light project management tools. So something like Trello. Trello is this Kanban style to-do list, which Kanban just means you have columns with your to-dos in them. The first column being things that like are upcoming, the second column being things that you are about to start or that you've already started. Third column, maybe they're in progress or being completed, something like that. And then your last column is the finished things. And you sort of just drag your to-dos across from left to right. That was made famous by Toyota quite some time ago. They sort of introduced this. People do it with sticky notes as well, this system. And it's worked really well for keeping people on track and allowing everyone to see where all the where all the little tasks and whatnot are at in the process. But yeah, so like a Kanban style thing, system like Trello can work very well. Trello is also free. There is a premium option, but you can get away with the free version. It's quite features full. And you can invite your manager or your coworkers into that, and they can see your Trello board, see your to-do, see where they're at, set due dates on them, set comments on them. It's much more feature rich than your basic to-do list. Some people use it for some pretty large project management tasks, but I find it fairly straightforward and basic, so it works well for small, light project management as well. And then you can get into sort of heavier project management tools that are focused around team project management. Some of them are still very straightforward to get started with, and then you can sort of go more in depth with them. Some of these tools, such as Asana, which I use for my agency, other tools like Atlassian has a great project management tool. There's Teamwork is another one. There's a whole bunch of them out there. If you look up project manager software, monday.com, I think is another one. There's tons of them. But in my opinion, I've used a lot of them, and whatever is simplest and works best with your workflow and your team's workflow is going to be the one that I would go with. It doesn't really matter all the features and all these special little things that you can do, because at the end of the day, if you're spending more time or it's a pain for you to update your to-dos and keep everything set up properly in your to-do system, you're sort of just hindering your productivity at that point, and you're eventually going to give up. You're not going to want to be updating these to-do systems if it's taking you more time than it's worth. So for me, I personally like to stick with the easiest, lightest weight version I can, and that's one of the reasons why I use Things 3, because it's very easy for me to use. I throw all my to-dos on there. Anytime I think of something I have to do, I just throw it in, and then it's very straightforward and simple, and it's not too complicated. Anyway, that's my recommendation, is start with something basic, see if you like it, and then you can sort of progress into more advanced to-do software, but don't go too far down that rabbit hole. Like, just use what you need, and you don't need to have this huge project management system if you're just two people, right? Like, a simple to-do list that you can share, or even like a Trello board is perfectly sufficient for that scenario. All right, finally, on to our gaming section. I am trying to actually game less. I love gaming, don't get me wrong. It's something that I've been doing my whole life. And I really play mostly just Call of Duty now. I tend to play a lot later at night whenever the kids are in bed and I have nothing else to do, is what I tell myself. But recently I've had a lot of projects and tasks that I've been wanting to get done, some sort of side projects and things that I'm very interested in, and the distraction is hard to pull away from whenever I really want to get these things done. So that's why I'm sort of giving myself a bit of a regime for gaming. So I'm going to try and game like one or two nights a week, as opposed to every night, so that on those other nights I can actually get some of these side projects done. So that's my little public disclaimer, just so that I can try and stay accountable to it. But I guess I could talk a little bit about Call of Duty, since I've definitely put some hours in over the last couple of weeks. The game, I gave it a review last week. Still, I feel very much the same about it. Recently, they've just released the Nuketown 84 map, which is like a Nuketown of the past, I guess. Every Call of Duty seems to have Nuketown. I don't know why they keep putting Nuketown in every map. Personally, I don't really like it, but I could see the appeal. It's very fast-paced, super high kill games, because everybody's spawning and killing each other super fast because the map's so tiny. It's basically like this. It's like two houses in a suburbia with a fence around the houses. So you have the houses, one house on either side, and a street in the middle with like a bus or some sort of vehicle. And it's literally, that's all it is. People love it. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, but they just released that. They also released double XP again. They had double XP like the weekend the game came out, and now they have double XP again until November 30th. So if you're a Call of Duty fan, this week's your time to get up to that max level. So you can start doing your prestiges. But yeah, that's all I really want to talk about for gaming this week. I don't have a ton of news, as I said, because I'm sort of trying to cut back on the gaming a bit. So I might be phasing out the gaming from this podcast. I'm not really sure yet. But if I do, well, maybe that means I'm on the right track and gaming a little less and focusing more on some side projects. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in this week, everyone. And I hope that everybody has a good remainder of their week. And I will see you in the next episode of the Java Dad Cast. Later.